Welcome to Wellness Spring. In this enlightening episode, I'm blessed to chat with Christiana Altrayan, a powerful spiritual teacher who left a top corporate career to follow her soul's calling. From reading palms at the age of 14 to hosting global pranic festivals, we explore prana, her magical Romanian roots, and her Mary Magdalene retreats, and her new book, Goddess Speaks, a divine oracle of messages from 64 goddesses. This episode is truly packed with insight, energy, and inspiration. Tune in and discover how Christiana can help you evolve. Welcome, Christiana, to Wellness Spring. It's so lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for having me on your show. And it's such an honor and
Yeah,
a joy to
it's
see
been
you
a
again.
long time. It's been a long time since we've seen each other in person. And just for the listeners, I was blessed to meet Christiana in Monaco when I was promoting Nisim Haramein Live. And she turned up like a breath of fresh air and a beautiful ray of light. And we connected instantly. And I went on to promote Christiana in Monaco at our Be Here Now Ladies Luncheon and many workshops. And, she graced us all with her presence, but with her wisdom and words, people are still talking about it. And and I believe you've just launched a new book. Do you want to tell us about that?
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm first really honored by your words. And yes, my new book is just ready out of the print, and it's called Goddess Speaks: Messages from the Divine Feminine. It's basically a channeled book, and it's been born in France, in Nice, just as I was there for the Mary Magdalene retreat that you know that I'm often doing. So I just found a deck of cards with the Divine Feminine, and each time I drew a card, a message came, and I started writing them with an old, those pen quill that you use with the violet ink.
Oh,
I just got guided to buy one of those and start downloading messages for each goddess. And 64 goddesses are in this book, sending messages to, humans. And each time you open the book, thinking of something, no matter what you think of, or even if you don't think of a specific question or problem, some insight comes to you as a guidance for the day, or as a guidance for a moment in your life, or it's an amazing thing because I didn't do it from my mind. So I love to also open it and see, for example, what's the goddess that wants to talk to us now, and it's Jeanne d'Arc. I just love to see what messages it has for me for each day, and everyone can use it as an oracle.
oh, that's wonderful. And what is John Dark speaking to us about our chat?
She is called the Warrior of Light. So basically, it's pretty much our job in this world, even though I don't call myself a warrior. Rather, I'm a spreader of light. I don't fight for light, I just spread it. It doesn't have to be fought for. But in those times, maybe fight was necessary. I don't know. And she's saying her mantra is, "My faith is tough like steel. The angels arm me with belief." So it's always about having more trust and more faith in the universe, which has been my message in the world for the past more than 15 years, I guess, for us to have more faith in the universe, more of this belief that we can really change realities if we are strong in our center in our core, and in if we are really believe it's possible, you know. And she says, when you allow no doubt, your path is clear. You arm, you aim, you reach your target. Nothing can stop you. So basically, that's, and you know, the message is longer. If you want, I can read it all or just the first part, however you prefer. But it's a message about faith and determination and holding your intention or your direction, basically, not be wobbly about what where you want to get.
Yeah, I was because you opened that page and said it was for us right then. I just thought it would be fun for the listeners to hear and get a taste of your great work as well. And you mentioned you were channeling 64 goddesses. Did any of the messages surprise you or resonate with you at a deeper level?
Every one of them, actually, because they were being channeled in different days. I would do one per day or something like this. It lasted for a while to download all of them. And every time I would draw a card, because I was doing it for myself. I didn't think it was going to be a book. After a
Yeah.
while, I figured, oh, this can be a book. I will put them all together and give it to other people. But initially, I was doing it for myself. So every time I would draw a card, I would get this message and then I would read it. Because when I write, I don't think. So it doesn't go through your mind. You don't really understand what you're reading, what you're writing until you're finished. And then you read and say, whoa, that's a nice message. So every time it hit me with some message, some insight, some even resolution or point of view that was really, really necessary for me for that day. And I've
Yeah.
seen it work for other people because I worked with the book in my workshops since I got it last week. And I've seen it work for a group of people, groups of people when I'm in groups. So I just love the book. I don't brag about it. It's not like I thought of it and put it on paper. I just love what these goddesses had to say, you know, to us. I love
That's
it.
really exciting. So when you say, because the English language can be misconstrued in many forms, because when you say you were drawing a card, some people might think you were sketching. Were you sketching something and then?
No, it's like this. Now, for example, I got the Rose Oracle. It's an oracle card.
Okay.
I just got it. And I love to play with these cards because the universe can give you answers in many forms. And sometimes in workshops, I just work with these things. People need to see something like physical, you
Yeah.
know? If I tell them from my download, it's one thing. But then at the end, I draw a card. This is what mean drawing a card. I draw a card and the message is the same like I said it during the workshop. So basically it's pretty much the same message. And that's what drawing a card means. You take the deck and you draw a card to see what the message of the day is. And then apart from what it says here, I would get an entire download from that goddess. So that's what happened with the book, right? Only it wasn't the Rose Oracle back then. It was the Oracle of Mary Magdalene. It's a nice deck of cards which has the goddesses, and you can each time get a message from it. And then I just develop the message into something bigger.
Because I know you like to paint and create. I thought, wow, she's painted some cards, and in her painting or drawing or sketching. Yeah, so I understand by drawing the cards when you're doing an actual reading, but downloading the messages. Yeah, and I remember the first time you went to Mary Magdalene's cave in Nice, and our lovely communal friend now, Natalia. Natasha took you, and that was a crazy day because you two of you went off in the car and you didn't go to the Yoni, the actual cave that day. You just went to the big cave. And do you want to tell the listeners about your experience in the cave, the real Yoni cave?
You know, everything is real because it has been inhabited by Mary Magdalene, the bigger cave, for the last 30 years. And last time I was there in November, actually after a Nassim's conference, we went on a retreat at the cave of Mary Magdalene in November, end October and beginning of November. And I was going with my retreat clients, my retreat people who came from all over the world, you know, Holland and Germany and France and Romania. They came to visit this cave together with me. And one of the experiences was that, for example, I was a little late to the meeting because the driver mistook some leads on the highway, and it took us 1 extra hour, 1 hour and a half to get there. And but the people were happy, they were already on the mountain, everything was fine. However, this perception of me being wrong for being late has been instantly erased when we got to the cave, because the people that have been there before my arrival have seen that they were be full of tourists all day, very busy, very crowded, very noisy. When we arrived a little later, the cave became empty.
Wow,
You know,
fantastic.
empty completely just for us. And the hand of Mary Magdalene was there. They brought, I don't know if it was there before. I'm not remembering to have seen it before, but that time it was there. And it was a very strange event for me, because I get into a trance when I do these retreats, these meditations. We had some meditations as we went up the mountain. It's a path of about 45 minutes hike. And when I got there, I was already in a trance state, and I got in such deep connection with the energy of Mary Magdalene that, you know, I was looking at my hand, and I was looking at that hand that had 2,000 years or more, and then at mine and hers, and it looked like the same thing.
Wow.
I got the because her energy was fully into me in some way, and I got the feeling like we are forever. You know, this thing that we call our body, our hand, our suit, whatever, it shifts and changes over the millennia into something else always. Like now I'm in this body, and, you know, tomorrow maybe on another galaxy in another form. But we are the same, I am the same, yet the suit has changed. And she showed
Yeah.
me that, you know, this is a hand that you might have had some thousand years ago, and this is your hand now in your body now, and maybe in the future you'll have a different suit on a different planet, but you are the same essence, moving through time, different faces, different you know, looks, different aspects, different relations, but it's the same, it's all the same. And it's been marvelous. And we were all alone, so I got to take 2 candles, and then a download message came for the tourists that were with me, and they started crying. They had intense healings, and it was so very, very beautiful. I don't remember what I said, though, so I just have the pictures with the candles and doing all that ritual. And then a priest came out from somewhere and said, "We have to close. We have to get out. We have to close." It was a little too much, maybe. I said thank you, because we had our time alone. You know, it was like a blessing. You never get that at that cave. It's very rare. So I'm very grateful. And it's just one on the of the insights and many, many healings. I've seen women heal very deeply on that path, on that journey. For some women that have been abused, came with me, women that were part of religious communities, and they were very impacted by child abuse or religious abuse in any way, and they had strong heart and yoni healing, you know, in that journey. Women that have denied their femininity for ages, and have gotten some healing, some energy that has taken them back to balance. I've seen many miracles happening there. And I'm in awe, and I'm very happy to go back again at the end of June on 28th and 29th. We have a retreat at that cave again. It's always so powerful.
Yeah, I know, because I've been there 3 times myself and had the most incredible experiences. And each time I've been there, Mary Magdalene has appeared as an apparition in front of myself and Isla, and the messages she gives us is just, so powerful. So now she's telling me to hurry up and write my book on self-love and start my women's retreats on self-love. So yeah, and everybody loves a good story, and I always ask my guest speakers to tell us a bit about how their journey started, where you were born and your education and how you became this beautiful creative goddess that you are today.
I was born in a family that was not necessarily really spiritual in terms of practice. But my father was interested in holistic things. My grandfather and uncle were really interested in paranormal. And I too was really eating every book or magazine or anything that would come with paranormal or energy information about energy. Even since I was very little, I started reading when I was 5 or 6, and my grandfather had a subscription to a paranormal magazine that was talking about out-of-body experiences and traveling to other worlds and extraterrestrials and the sacred sites. So I was reading about all that from a very young age, and I would find everything normal, because that's the normal thing. Go ahead.
You were born in Romania, right?
Yes, I am born here, and I felt very connected to nature since I was very little, and I had the blessing to have all my childhood holidays in a sacred site, which is very powerful, and it's one of the blue zones, as they discovered. They've written a book about blue zones, the areas of the world where people live a little longer than normal, or much longer than normal. And they've listed about five zones in this book. And now they discovered that in Romania, we have a zone too, around Buzău, around the mountains and hills of Buzău, where I was being raised as a child. And that's where I grew up.
Wow,
So
that's amazing.
I was
So
always
you are blessed, because most young children would never have that experience, and that would definitely not be the norm.
Yes, for me, it was the norm to be barefoot every day, to bathe in rivers. We had two rivers, one salted and one sweet, that would join at the corner of our house. So I would get to bathe in them every time I would go out. I was all day out on the hills, picking flowers, picking fruit, running around with my cousins. I was very connected to that, and I still am very connected to that place. And I believe that place, where my grandparents lived, together with the education that I received through these magazines and books and the family conversations, have opened me up to my memories of what I was before this life, or am before this lifetime, because I've always been in many lifetimes an energy worker and someone that would bring energy knowledge to the world and energy practice. And so, even since I was a child, I was telling people we're all energy and everything is energy. And that was natural to me. I was meditating in a crystal. I was doing palm reading, numerology. When I was 14, if you told me your name, I would read your map in an instant by numbers. Something which I forgot now, I no longer use it. Now I read the field of people, but it was something that I was practicing. And I love that I had this education and this remembering. because it has helped me to keep in touch to my core, to my true nature. I didn't get wasted in parties and booze and drugs, anything like that. I was never interested in that. And that kept me sober and clean energetically, so that now I can do my job. Those are my origins. And the Romanian land and Romanian people have very strong spiritual origins in themselves. You know, we have a very, very ancient tradition here of healers, magicians, you could call them, people who would know how to master weather, how to master energy field, how to go into a city or a village and shift the situation there just through your presence. We were being trained to do that thousands of years ago. That was our school of training. That was our basis here in Romania. And that's how I lived in other lifetimes. So it's really good that I was born here again. I'm happy for it.
Yeah, so it was all very natural to you. And before we delve even deeper, so you started your professional career in management. You know, what sparked, what was the turning point for your career as a holistic therapist?
Yes, after my holistic childhood that was all over the place, I got a job at 19 while I was doing also my university studies, and I lost all my practice. And I for 10 years I was a normal human doing normal things, trying to have a normal life, which got me to a very deep imbalance. Actually, I went very profoundly into my masculine side, my management girl hat, that was leading people and having big teams and many departments and top-notch woman that would have the best job in the company. That got me to a very deep imbalance, and I was starting to lose my cool and my health, and made me ask some questions that the doctors didn't have answers to. And that's when I met a very holistic, very powerful spiritual healer by chance that I had to go to ask him what's going on and how can I heal, because the doctors would not give me any answers. Like, for example, why was I going out of body and suddenly fall off my feet? I was exiting my body because I was no longer liking my life, naturally. And the doctors don't tell you that, for example, or because some areas in my body were imbalanced and it couldn't hold my spirit, so something like that. And I went to this healer, and not only he has told me what's not well with my life, but he has started to teach me how to get better. And from there, I started a really deep journey of spiritual practice. I was not interested in teaching or writing or holding conferences. I personally thought I had hit rock bottom and I had to have to take care of myself and make myself better again. So for 3 or 4 years or maybe more, I just practiced every day energy healing, going to classes to learn about energy healing and getting back in balance, everything, chakras, mind mastery, mind reprogramming the energy field. I would learn it for myself because I needed it. And over time, people saw me changing into a better version and started asking the friends around me, what's going on? What are you doing? Can you do this for us as well? The class that you made, is it useful for other people? Because I was always going to classes and retreats. And I tried a few things that I learned, a few of the therapies that I started to practice. I tried it on other people and they had great results, and they would bring other people to me, And I said, no, I'm a manager. I do this for myself. I am, not trained to heal other people, so maybe go to another therapist or so. I wasn't thinking of doing it. And at some point, I had a dark room of 10 days with just Mohin. One of my retreats was going into a room of no light and no food for 10 days, where you would be completely isolated from external impulses, like visual impulses and so on. So you go very deep within yourself, and the lack of digestion also gives you a lot of clarity. And in that dark room, I realized my life makes no sense, and management career is no longer making sense to me at all. And when I went back home from Thailand, that's where the retreat was, I changed my life completely. So I left my city, I left my company, I left my apartment, I went into a new city. I started the first conference the next day. I was invited by a friend to hold a speech, actually a speech on feminine orgasm. It was called The Perfect Couple, that workshop. I go big or go home. That was my beginning. And then the next day I started writing about dark room because everybody was asking me about it, and instead of telling the same story to each person, I would write it down and send it. And that's what happened in Darwin. And that's how my first book was issued, just by telling stories about my experiences. And then my second book was a request after the first book. People said, write something new, and so on. And I've started with the books and conferences and then doing therapies. And that's how I changed my job.
So you mentioned Jas Mohin, whom I've had on the show and is now a lovely friend of mine, who is probably the longest living person who has been source fed on the planet today since Prajan transcended.
Jani has passed, yes.
So for our listeners, will you explain pranic living? Like, what is pranic nourishment?
Tough question, but nice. I believe is the state of being connected to source or to the universal energy or to the universe at a such deep level that you no longer need energy from the outside, not from other people in the first place, not from physical resources like solid food. It comes from a very deep connection where you're in such a deep balance. Your doshas are in balance, your chakras are in balance, your emotional, mental field are in balance in such way that you are full of energy all the time. And even when you're not full of energy, maybe because we still have a human body and the human appearance for some while, you are able to get back in balance very, very quickly. Like Jasmuheen and other friends of mine, and even myself, those who are breatharians, they still get injured sometime or some illness. It's not that you become bulletproof or something. People imagine that all of a sudden you are this, being floating on a cloud. No, you still have a human experience, but the way you move through it and get past it in a healed state, in an evolved state even, is much quicker, much more efficient. It's sometimes looks like miracles for others around you, like you can heal a big illness in just one day or something. And that's because of source connection. And this source connection, the minimum outcome is that you no longer need food, or you need very little from the outside, like smoothies, a little bit of salad for some. I still take liquid food and small vegan bites because I like to socialize with people, and it makes them feel more relaxed and myself more relaxed as well. But even when you need very little from the exterior or nothing at all and you just have it for fun, that's the minimum byproduct of it. The main byproduct, if you will, is that you are so centered and so clear and so. It comes a foul word, but I will say it, however, unfuckable with. That's what comes. You cannot let people push you around anymore, or take things from you, or break your boundaries, or mislead you in any way, because you have so much clarity. And that's where I love it. You know, more than the lack of food or the lack of necessity for food, what I love about it is the state of centeredness and clarity, and almost like a miraculous walk to through life.
Yeah, well, your book title as well says the Pranic World book, Living Without Hunger.
Yeah.
So, you know, so many people are hungry for power, for money, for influence, and so many other things. But when you take away that need for hunger, you know, everything becomes calmer and more centered, like you're saying, clear. But can you talk us through your darkroom experience? Because you were new to, you know, all this work at the time, even though you'd had that remarkable upbringing. What I mean is to the darkroom.
Well, when I went to darkroom, I was no longer new. I had 3 years of practice and it was deep. So
Right.
when I started practicing again, I would practice like 16 to 18 hours per day. I wasn't interested in anything else, so I would just practice, practice, practice. And before the darkroom, I went from omnivorous to vegan, to vegetarian to vegan. So I was already vegan when I went into
Yeah.
the room. I
When
had
you said you were practicing for 16 hours a day, sorry to cut you off. What were you practicing? Talk us through
I've
that.
learned over the years different types of meditations and healing practices that would just balance out my body. So I would have my morning meditation to clear my chakras and then energize them. I would have different meditations throughout the day for different outcomes. I would have practices to get in touch with certain feminine energies that we call Mahavidyas, or the goddesses in Indian pantheon, which I learned how to tune into and manage those energies as if they were mine, because they are ours. We all are
Yeah.
representatives of this feminine energy that can shift and sh change in any way. So I would have that as well. I would have the yoga, the qigong, the breath work in various points of the day. Emotional healing that I learned from Taoist masters like Mantak Chia, where you clear the emotions of your organs. So that's what I was doing all day. And
But did you work as well?
for my
Did
job,
you?
I got your question already. For my job, I would just meditate, make a call to the person that I knew would sign a contract with me, and I would have that contract signed, have the money coming, and then practice, practice, practice. So the job was very simple because I was having that clarity of not making like 50 calls per day. I don't know how many visits or interviews or whatnot. I would just make one. And that was
Wow.
the one. And then the rest of the time would rem and the money would be invested in my spiritual practice. So that was my life back then. And
Wow, that's amazing.
I had all the support of the universe to do so, because I was being meant to do this thing, and without that practice, I couldn't have done this thing. So the universe was like, yay, finally you decided to do your thing. Finally you decided to be what you're meant to be. Let's roll a red carpet. And I had the red carpet for a while, and then when I was time for me to move to the next level, I would get some other kicks. I mean, it wasn't always sunshine and roses. Even after I started my practice, I had ups and downs, and you can get challenged too. I mean, but the beginning was very supported, for me to see and have clarity that, you know, this is what you have to do. This is your path. You don't. I was getting, you know, from my previous management career, as I was having my CVs on some websites, I was having the temptation to receive offers from big companies like in France or Germany to have me as a manager on big money. And that was my test, you know, you want the money and the corporate job again, or you want to, you know, do your thing and write your books and I was not bringing much at the time, but I clearly knew this was my path. I couldn't wobble around. The same like Jeanne d'Arc said today, you know, when you wonder questions about something, there's either not enough faith or not enough support for you in that situation. For me, I had all the faith and all the support. I couldn't move anywhere other than this direction.
Perfect.
So the dark room that you were asking, because we haven't finished that part, I had already have my preparation, which I recommended to other people too, like the fasting before, the cleanses, the I had 1 year with just cereals, four cereals, water and salt, no other food, so that my body was purified. I don't recommend it to other people now, but for me it was very drastic because of some health issues and stuff. So when I entered the dark room, I was trained already. I was doing dark room at home with 2 or 3 days of blindfold and just not eating and stuff. It was easy, but for others it's difficult. It's not really a piece of cake. Your previous training.
Wonderful. And I guess you had a lot of training and teaching during the dark room as well with Jasmine.
Yeah, it's very intense and nice at the same time because you can either go or not go to the trainings, you choose. But you do have a lot of insights and downloads and channeling and so much more. And plus, you're in a room with 45 people in the dark. So that's a training in itself, you know, to have the mastery to really feel people around you, to know who not to bump into, not to hit other objects like tables full of juice bottles or tables full of cans, and that would make a lot of noise while people are sleeping and meditating. Coming from the second floor to the base floor is a nice, interesting story to navigate when you're coming. Many, many things, you know, that are. You don't expect them before you actually go there, but it trains your mastery in feeling beyond your normal senses. Like, for example, you were able to feel, how do you call it? A pillar 1 or 2 meters before hitting it. So you could go around it. You know, you would learn to project your field outside, so to feel into what's coming in front of you because you didn't have the eyes. So you don't bump into people, you don't bump into tables, you don't bump into objects. You would feel when the field would change because people would come near you or someone was entering the room, very accurately refining the extra sensory perceptions that are very useful in our practice as healers or seers or whatever we do in our holistic professions. That's why I went there, you know, to train this specifically. It's a very good training. The next time I did the 17 days, so 10 days and 7 days, and it was even more intense.
Well, and I know you've organized the Pranic Conscious Summit in Romania and managed to blend live talks and also did it online simultaneously. Could you tell us about the summit's inception and the impact on the participants?
I love that gathering still, even though it's so intense as work that every year I said, oh, maybe this is the last one. But we have built a family with this retreat, with this fest. We call it a festival because this is how it's called all over the world, where they organized it in Australia, they organized it in America, and so on. I had one in India and this one in Romania that is in eighth edition. We call it festival, but it's actually a retreat where you meet more than 20 speakers that are very, very high consciousness. They're all capable of living without solid food for 3, 5, 10, or 30 years. Some are on just water for 30 years. So imagine the level of consciousness and the level of vibration in that room with such a person. And when you gather 20 of them together, the level of vibration is exponentially growing. Plus the participants who are very conscious, very deeply trained people, some of them, some are new to this and coming for, the curiosity, but in their core, they have a call. Apart from the curiosity, they had been there before. And so the gathering in itself, the retreat is very powerful for an energy shift in your life, wherever you come from. If you're a beginner and just started the holistic practice or reading books about it, or if you have 30 years in your practice or 50 years in your practice, it still changes your life. I've seen this over the years. This is the eighth edition this year. We had children for 3 years old or 2 years old, still suckling with their mothers, and now they're bigger than me. Their lives has evolved amazingly. I've seen people coming from corporate business. Like I have a client now, friend that has was leading 300 people in the IT business, and she has, very driven woman. And now she has changed into a psychologist, doing energy healing, having her own cabinet and practice in her hometown, and many, many things like that have changed. I've seen women, I've had a client who wouldn't dare to get out of the house to go shopping for groceries without her husband. She would do nothing without him. She started to come to therapy first, and then came to the festival with only her two children for a 4-day retreat where she had never, ever, ever gone out of the house alone. That is a life-changing decision in itself. And that has catapulted her life into something completely new, from an accountant that she was before to now speaking to thousands of people in public speeches and, doing businesses with, I don't know the name of a big company of public speaking and training, something like that. I don't know. She has blossomed into something that I would never have imagined myself as her therapist that she could do.
Wow, that's an incredible story, and I'm sure you got many
Many.
success stories like
Many.
that. And what personal challenges and rewards have you encountered hosting such a multifaceted event?
You don't want to know the challenges, managing everything from bookings to emails, WhatsApp messages, Telegram messages, and all the other channels that we have now for communication. I think there are 5 or 7 channels that I'm communicating constantly to people during these months until the festival. From doing that to the bookings to the villas that we book for people to sleep in, to the speakers that are on many continents and you have to, match their schedule and their time zones and everything else, to the languages that are being spoken because some are not speaking English and some are not speaking whatever, and to the clients, participants that are coming from more than 25 countries each year. And all have travel schedules and join the roads trips together. We put them all together to share the cars and everything, and the trains and the planes, everything to turn everything into a family, because that's my vision, to come there as a family. And you see them first day coming really tired and really agitated, and some have had, challenges on the way, like visas. The visas for everyone, the speakers, the participants, everything that is managed by me at the moment. I have help just when we start, but until we start, we have all this. That's something that makes me want every year to maybe not do it again. Because the rest of the year I'm a Zen person who manages almost nothing. I just do everything by myself and then with the clients. And then I have this big event with people from all over the world that takes me completely out of my comfort zone or my natural rhythm. So basically, there's a lot of things that can occur, but it's amazing how miraculously they get resolved and how unimaginably everything falls into place, even beyond my power of discerning. And the main lesson with organizing this was let go.
Wow.
Let go. When a speaker loses their flight, when a client doesn't get the visa, when the person at the tech doesn't get permit to enter Romania, whatever, and you're having no tech person and no one to manage the Zooms or whatever, let go. And then the solution, the best solution comes. Either they find another plane, or they send another person, or they find another car, whatever. But it's amazing how everything can fall into place. Like one
Yeah.
time, the host forgot to book the place for us. It forgot completely. We had an event with people coming from all the countries, and they didn't book us the room, the conference room, anything. So you go there and you learn 2 months in advance that you have no venue and everyone has gotten their flights and their visas and everything. That's something you have to manage very quickly and very, perfectly. But however, it was an event that was channeled by the divine.
Yeah.
I used to go to a cave in a very sacred site to a place in Romania that is the crown chakra. And it was the cave of prayer of a saint here that was nourished by prana, that was healing thousands of people just by coming into a gathering, that was seer, someone who would predict events like 9/11, someone very, very deeply connected, right? And as I was going to his cave many, many years in a row, I always got this message: you have to do a gathering here with prani people. All right, I
Wow.
thought I would do an art retreat with Jasmine or something like that. Eventually, it got clear to me that was meant to be the festival. And I started telling to the people at the venue where I was sleeping, you will have a big event here with international participants. You have to prepare your conference rooms, your sound, everything. It's going to be big. And they were looking at me. Well, I was a 30-year-old girl, and they were like, yeah, whatever. I was coming from the forest with all the mud from the cave and everything. I wasn't looking like an
Yeah.
event planner at all, or speaker or whatnot. But then it happened. And it happened for 8 years now. And the family that we started the 8 years ago with the speakers and the participants is still coming every year. Some make it each year, some not. But we still have the bond together, and you see them evolve, and you say, yeah, it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess a lot of people would get healing just being on the land because you said it's very sacred, the land.
Yes, it is at that very place, yes.
Yeah. And alongside your healing work, you also coach people on relationships. So, what common challenges do you see in relationships today, and how do you help clients to overcome them?
I believe the main common challenge is the balance that has to be restored between the masculine and the feminine. The planet has been in imbalance for so many hundreds of years, if not thousands. I think the last time we were in real balance was Lemurian time, if I
Yeah.
remember correctly, right? After that, with the Atlanteans and everything, it got a little messed up. And so after that, we had to start healing. We had to start reframing this energy of masculine feminine dance. So we have now the maximum, I think, imbalance on the planet. We have now the maximum women going to masculine, men going too little in their masculine and too much in their feminine. And you see it reflecting in the clothing, in the lifestyle, in the way they approach things, like men not having the power of decision, women deciding too much, even for their men. All that stuff. And that then reflects into the women going too much in their leadership, in their active side, in their action driven, goal driven aspect that depletes their femininity, their sexuality, their hormones. I was just yesterday talking to a friend. She has no libido for 3 years. Why? She's managing big companies in Dubai, and that's, draining all of her life force. That's what happens all over the planet. Then the men see you drain, they don't have all that drive as well. Then there's the communication issues that appear, people not speaking their truth, not holding their boundaries, not making clear to the other what they prefer and how they would like things to happen. People in general no longer have clarity about what a relationship is. There's so much confusion on that part too. Should we be exclusive? Should we be polyamorous? Should we be monogamous? Should we have a threesome each Friday to spice it up? They are no longer having this clarity of what's their direction and what works for them. They try to apply what they see in movies, what they see in social media and stuff. And to my view, that's pretty much not working out for the majority of people. There's just the extremes that make it, okay, but the majority of people just want someone to love and be loved by and have a normal night out at a movie and have a peaceful dinner with someone to share their troubles and their joys with, and they want to have it simple. And they complicate it out of this craze that we're being educated into by all the media and all the movies. And then there's the gender confusion that adds up to that. And especially for the youth and adolescents, you no longer know if you're a boy or a girl, or you're meant to kiss the other gender or your own gender, and what do you like? And that's another wave of confusion coming to top it up in relationship dynamics. And then, it all narrows down, if you look at it, to the masculine feminine balance. It all narrows down to that, I believe.
So, what would be a typical session when someone comes to you, help to find what issues are arising with them and then help to balance the masculine feminine?
Yes, and we are intuitive healers. You never know what's going to happen in that session, what you're going to see or perceive. I never think from my mind, oh, this should be that. This I never go into judgment or compare it to other experiences of other clients or my experience. I am blank when I begin a session or a workshop. I'm completely blank. My mind is completely into the alpha theta state, and I just ask for the universe, give me the answers, give me what's happening here, what is the solution, what is the. And I'm sometimes amazed what I see. For example, a person that is having difficulties in their current relationship or the relationship patterns of this lifetime is maybe because they have been abused or abused other people in a previous lifetime. You would never guess. You would never guess. If you looked at the dynamics of today, you would say, okay, communication issues or maybe too much work or whatnot, too little sexuality. But no, the cause can be much deeper, much older, playing through different lifetimes in different forms. And that's where we go, where we look, when we look and give some insight. We never give advice because that person already knows how to heal. but we offer the insights of what we see, what's being shown, and I ask the person, you know, I'm seeing this child sitting in a corner being very, very scared. What's that to you? Well, when I was little, my father used to beat me up or lock me in a basement, whatnot. That is reflecting, of course, in the current relationship with the partner, either by searching someone abusive or by finding abusive partners or by, you know, abusing others in different ways because they want to. You never know until you look deeper and you connect higher.
Yeah, it's great that you are that blank canvas and that pure channel to give clear answers for the people. And you mentioned children a few times, and I know you've got your Soul Healing Academy, and you've launched various initiatives like Energy and Harmony program for children. So, you know, how much do you think these projects contribute to holistic education and community well-being?
They've been a big contribution in their due time. It was 2012, 2013 that I was doing these programs. Now I'm just, you know, whenever I'm offered the opportunity to do public speaking for children, I always say yes. But those programs were happening back then when I was in my initial city. And it contributed a lot because there were several schools that were calling me in for their classes for their children. And I only realized how much it counted for them when I moved out of the city and lost contact with those schools. And they called me for 1 year and a half to come back and still hold those classes. So I realized those children were really impacted in a big way because I was seeing them change and I was seeing them get holistic insights and perceiving their chakras or eating lighter or making contests who drinks more natural juice per day and stuff like this that children normally don't do. And that was fun. But after I left, I realized that those children were really needing that stuff. And I keep dreaming of having a holistic school at some point or a re retreat center where we can expand that initial project. Now I have now nine projects in parallel. So that got, you know, on it's is on hold, but each time I go, I get invited, I go to children to speak. However, I feel that in the nearest future, it is very necessary for us to have holistic centers of study for children. The current education is no longer working, and it's very obvious. I mean, at least in Romania, they fail exams like there's no tomorrow, and that shows not that the children are no longer smart, which is the general, you know, view. No. The system is no longer adapted to the genius children that are coming, or the type of education that they need. When you have children failing the exams, it's not their fault, it's your fault as a system, and this is clear. There's no discussion about it, right? You have to make them be interested and learn. However you do that is your job as a system, you know? So we need to change that like completely because the new generations are what holds the basis of this planet. And so I'm hoping to contribute to that the best I can.
That's wonderful. And you literally lit up when you started talking about the children. And it's a very good project to have. So, how can listeners engage with your work or participate in your programs?
I'm all over the place, like YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. We have like 16 pages. Some of them are my books. Some of them are my other projects, like the festival and the online summit and so on. So you can find me if you type my name on the internet, Christiana El Traian. I'm going to be there, and my contact data are all over the place as well. So not only we can contact on Instagram or Facebook, but you actually have my email and some WhatsApp contact on the website, which is soulhealingacademy.com. And There are sessions that we do one-on-one, like we discussed now, like private sessions, which are coaching or healing sessions. But there are the workshops that are online and there are for groups. They're always online and live. So if you are in another country and you cannot take a flight and come to Romania, you can enter online. Today we have one at 7 p.m. Bucharest time. So tonight, actually, in my time, in yours, I think it's during afternoon. We have a workshop on relationships that we called Conscious Relationships Heal Your Heart. And it's always about the masculine feminine balance, getting back into the heart and healing the trauma or whatever happened there that made people not give and receive love harmoniously. And we do deep healing meditations, and we get people to share their experience or the trauma or their even the things that they understood and liked about some relationship that helped them, because their sharing help others. And the women share their viewpoint and their troubles and their aspects, and the men listen. And then the men get to talk and share their insights from their masculine perspective, and the women get to listen and learn what they never heard from their partners, for example. Because you have the courage to say in such a workshop something that you've never had the courage to say, maybe to your partner, for fear that you would hurt him or you would be judged or whatever. So you say it to other people in a healing, contained, safe space, and you get feedback from them. The feminine gets feedback from the masculine gets feedback from the feminine, and that in itself is healing, apart from the exercise that we do and the practice, the meditations, and so on. So that's what we do online. And we have the retreats in Romania on the solstice, 21st of June, and the 22nd of July for Mary Magdalene's Day. We go to the Sphinx of Romania because that's also the energy of Mary Magdalene there. And we go to France and June 28th to 29th for the Mary Magdalene retreat there. And then August is the festival that you mentioned, the Pranic Festival in Romania. So
Wow.
live events are.
Super busy, a super busy lady. And as it's a wellness program, what is your number one wellness go-to that you must do?
Can you please rephrase the question? I'm not sure I understood correctly.
Okay. What one thing is important to you for your wellness to do?
For my wellness,
Yeah.
the most important thing is to learn to, I mean, not to learn, this is what I learned already, but to get myself the chance to rest when I need it. Like, I need at least one me day per week where I completely withdraw from everything outside and I go into silence and even not getting out of the house or getting out in nature by myself, not talking to people, and just lay down and download, the energies that are meant to be used in the next sessions or just recharge. That's the number one thing for me. Yeah, very
That's
important.
wonderful. That's so important to just listen to your body, just take the time out for you. And if there was one thing you could do to change the world, what would that be?
Well, I believe we're already doing it by upgrading ourselves. That's the most necessary thing, I think, for everyone. The more you upgrade your energy, you lift your consciousness, the more you change the world because the world is made of us. So that I won't go cliche and say be the change you want to see in the world, but really change if you want to see the world changing. That's the thing. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been an absolutely wonderful, wonderful conversation. And Christiana, I'd like to thank you for gracing us with your wisdom, presence, and divine insights.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy talking to you and very interesting topics that you've approached. I have one more thing to say just for the future encounters with people. My real name now is El Trayan. So if you want to get the
Trayan.
best of me energetically when you call me in, that's the name to call because it gives you the best of essence of what I am now. I was given the name Christiana when I incarnated, by my parents, but when I went deeper, I found the name of my spirit, which they didn't know, of course, because they were seeing just the child, not the spirit. And the name of my spirit, my soul, my divine essence is El Trayan. So this is how I am now. Even the latest book now has this name on it.
Oh,
So, yeah,
fantastic. Yeah.
it's good to know.
Yeah. Well, as we navigate this ever-changing world, your voice is a guiding light to help us remember who we truly are and the radiant beings with the capacity to heal, love, and evolve. So I would like to thank you for being that guiding light on the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your invitation again and look forward, really, really look forward to meet again in person. Of course,
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to see you in Romania. As promised, I want to take you to the best places. Maybe this time you come to the festival or one of the things we do here and we'll have fun together.